Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and I want to say thank you, and I'm grateful for all of you that's listening. Oh my gosh, I get so many emails, just hundreds and hundreds of emails, and yes, your request has been answered. We have our new Saturday series with guests from all over the world, and today we have a special guest, Dr. Susan Shamsky. And before we talk to Dr. Shamsky, I want to welcome my new listeners. And you're probably wondering, what the hell is reality spirituality? Well, reality spirituality, it's not a religion. It's a guideline to living consciously connected to the universe. I use the term universe, but you can use whatever term you like, whether it's God, source energy, the divine, Buddha, higher power. I just use the term universe. And this show is about celebrating and embracing our differences. You know, we're as different as our fingerprints. And this show is also about dissecting our everyday life experiences down to the least common denominator to reveal why we're not as happy as we could be. Reality spirituality is also about raising, elevating our personal vibration. And our personal vibration is very, very important because whatever you're vibrating, you know, we're all energy and all energy vibrates. And whatever you're vibrating, that's exactly what you're going to attract to you. So this show is about how to remain and how to sustain happiness, how to vibrate at a happier level, at a higher level, regardless of what's happening to you, regardless of your circumstances. And today, our guest, Dr. Susan Shamsky, is going to even give us more tips and more ideas and more concepts, because let me just share with you her background. I also have opened up the chat room audience, so if you'd like you're welcome to ask questions live. And Dr. Susan Shamsky, she is an award-winning author of 8 best-selling books, foremost focusing on spirituality. She's a highly acclaimed and greatly respected professional speaker. She has over 45 years experience as an educator in the conscious field. Since 1970, she has thrilled thousands worldwide with her dynamic teachings of meditation, intuition, yoga, spiritual enlightenment. I mean, I'm salivating just soaking all of this in, all of her wisdom. And she's been a new thought pioneer. She's done over 600 speaking engagements and over 600 media appearances. Jesus, Susan, you must be tired. And she's the founder of Divine Revelation, a complete technology for contacting divine presence and listening to our inner voice. Welcome. Welcome, Susan, to the show. Thank you so much for being a guest on Reality Spirituality.
I am thrilled to be here today, Rebecca.
Yes. Well, let's go back to the very beginning. We all start somewhere. How did you begin this journey? What was underneath nagging at you, how did you begin this wonderful journey of yours? And why did you begin this journey?
Right. So, it was the 1960s, and I was a flower child. I was a hippie. I was living in the San Francisco Bay Area. And at that time, those of us who were flower children, who were in this new human potential movement, we were studying the wisdom of the East. So I was studying the scriptures of Buddhism, and I was reading books such as Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. I was also reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead. I was reading The Way of Zen by Alan Watts. And in that book, Alan Watts said that it's really, really vital and important to find a meditation guide if we want to attain spiritual awakening or spiritual enlightenment. And trust me, in 1966 in Berkeley, California, you did not go to the Yellow Pages to find a meditation guide or anything like that, or yoga or anything like that in 1966. So I asked a roommate, I need to find this meditation guide. How do you suppose I could go about doing that? And he said, have you ever tried to meditate yourself? And I said, I can give it a shot. So I went into my bedroom and I lay down on the bed and I sort of prayed or asked for a meditation guide I asked for meditation. And immediately I was propelled into this ecstatic state. I felt a cord of energy that was rushing from the tips of my toes all the way to the top of my head. I felt like I was being plugged into an electric socket. And it just felt this incredible energy that was just flowing through my body. And I figured, I guess this is meditation. I don't know. I didn't know any better. Little did I know that I had my first meditation at that time, and then I also, at the same time, had my first Kundalini awakening experience. So, that was pretty amazing, and of course I tried to repeat that, and not too successfully, but sometimes I had some experiences from meditation. And not too long after that, I found myself... A friend of mine took me to a meditation center, which there happened to be a meditation center of transcendental meditation at that time. And then not too long after that, I found myself in India on the banks of the Ganges River studying with my guru at the time. And I spent many, many years in his ashram, actually. He was the guru of the Beatles and of Deepak Chopra, and the founder of Transcendental Meditation. His name was Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. Mm-hmm. So I spent 22 years in his ashram, and 7 of those years were on his personal staff.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Jesus. Let me just go back, because you've touched so many interesting points. Meditating for the first time to have that feeling, to me it just feels it feels like you are definitely chosen. You were just chosen, because I've never felt that trying to meditate ever, and it's just interesting how the universe picks and chooses. Now we're all chosen, I believe, but picks and chooses you and chooses us. And you just followed, your inspiration, you were seeking and you were searching and you found, and you just let the inspiration guide you.
I did, in fact, yes. I was very keen on experiencing meditation. I was very keen on the idea of spiritual awakening and spiritual enlightenment once I read about it in the Buddhist scriptures, and obviously I really wanted to experience it.
Yes, yes. It was. It just feels like it was, you know, your natural path, and I mean, just to be
right.
Yeah, it just feels so. Now you said you studied with the same guru that studied the Beatles, that was the guru of Beatles and Deepak Chopra.
Correct.
Interesting. So on his staff for those years, now what is that? What was that on his staff? What did you do?
What I did is I was living in Europe, in many different places in Europe, including Mallorca, Spain, including Austria, Italy, and mostly Switzerland. And mm-hmm. he was teaching these residential courses at the time, and I was working on his personal staff, so I spent a lot of personal time with him. In fact, when I was in India in 1970, I spent 6 months there in Rishikesh, and then I also traveled with him to Bangalore. And at that time, I was with him, and there were only 5 other people with us. So that was pretty extraordinary at that time, and that was my first big introduction of being around him and being with him. So I was very blessed. I feel I'm very grateful for that time, having been in such close association with him, because he was, you know, one of the greatest spiritual masters to ever come to the West, and also one of the greatest spiritual masters to ever teach meditation. He really made meditation a household word.
Mm-hmm.
He single-handedly made meditation a household word, actually, in the 20th century.
Interesting. So, okay, now, can you share, because one of the things the show is about real life, you know, real everyday life. And so was this yogi, did you ever see him get angry?
Did I ever see him get angry? That's a really interesting question you're asking, Rebecca. I saw him get impatient with people. I don't know what his motive was, frankly. I mm-hmm. can't. If you read about spiritual masters from India, if you read a book such as Milarepa, you will discover that often spiritual masters do things that appear to be maybe harsh or appear to be angry or whatever. But in fact, what they're doing is they're helping their disciple to release their limiting ideas and patterns and habits and change them into something that's more loving, more patient, more into someone who has loving kindness, who has very desirable, beautiful spiritual qualities. You know, it's very difficult to judge, okay, was he really angry or was he just putting on a show? Was this just some kind of some kind of charade he's doing? And believe me, I saw him doing a lot of charades.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, yeah, and that's what I love to share with my audience. I mean, you know, behind the curtains, what's really going on. And in other words, we're all human, and there's no judgment, but impatience, irritation, all of these things. It's an interesting, and I find when I'm in those states, it's because I used to judge myself and, you know, not wanting to get angry, but now it's even more of an acceptance of all of the human emotions and in sharing with my audience that we all are more alike than we are different, and we're all, and embrace it all, and to not resist it is really what I want to say. Resist nothing but and accept everything, all of our human emotions.
Well, I think that's really living the spiritual life and being on the spiritual path, is to learn how to do that and to become more gentle and more of ourselves, really, to express more of who we really are. And who we really are is someone who is connected to God, connected to spirit. If you really want to be who you are, you're connected not only in sometimes, not only when you're in meditation, but 24/7, 365 would be the ideal, to be that connected to God or connected to your higher self or to spirit with a capital S or whatever you want to call it. That would be the ultimate goal of any, I think, any spiritual seeker would be to have that connection all the time. And
yeah,
it's, you know, it's easy to be the Buddha when you have your eyes closed and you're in a cave. It's not quite so easy to be the Buddha when you're out active in the world dealing with all kinds of issues and problems and challenges.
Exactly, exactly. And that is exactly what the show is about, because it is about all of our everyday experiences, our experiences at the grocery store, or on the highway, or the gas station, or it doesn't matter. But this, I really believe that all of our experiences have this connection, and that's what I really love to focus on. So thank you for sharing that with us. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. When I was in ashram, actually, I meditated really a lot. I mean, during that period of my life, when I was in that ashram for 22 years, and especially when I was, for example, in India, or at times when my teacher was having meditation courses, retreats, I would meditate anywhere from 5 to 20 hours a day. I used to go into my room, and I would not appear for up to 8 weeks at a time. I would have the food brought to the door. I'd just stay in my room and meditate. And I would fast for up to 2 months at a time. I actually went into silence and did not even utter a word for up to 4 months at a time. And I practiced celibacy for decades. And so I was really an introvert, and that's definitely an understatement.
Okay. So that actually fit with your personality, correct? I mean, you not speaking and meditating. I mean, when I say your personality, I'm meaning going within, wanting to be within, wanting to go within.
Absolutely, I was very, very happy doing all of that meditation. It was like second nature to me. I loved the whole experience, and it was totally awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, after spending 22 years with my eyes closed like that, I felt like there was something missing from my spiritual growth.
Well, I want to share that 2 years ago, I went on a retreat with Michael Beckwith, one of the founder of Agape, and it was interesting. Yeah, Joshua Tree, and it was. And it was my first experience, because you have the choice of wanting to be quiet throughout the whole retreat or not. And so I chose to be quiet, and I've never done that before. And I extended it out to 40 days. When I went back to work, went back to society, I remained quiet. And it was the most interesting experience. What I learned is, More about being able to communicate with energy as opposed to words, and also that people are uncomfortable, I'm talking about in the real world, are uncomfortable with silence, very uncomfortable.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was interesting because I think we've been conditioned to be uncomfortable with silence.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I got two reactions. I had two reactions from people. Either it was, are you sick? you have laryngitis, or in fact, one gentleman at the gas station, he was thinking that I was deaf. You know, I couldn't speak, like I really couldn't speak. And so I flowed with whatever they wanted to believe, and you know, I got a lot of feeling sorry for me and a lot of I hope you feel better. And then when I did expose that I was quiet and I was silent on purpose, it was a lot of questions on why and, you know, what did you learn about it? And really I learned a lot about myself, but even more about people. And one of my things is, Susan, is to really create this peaceful environment for myself. So I know even if I want to be quiet and the person, whoever, whether it's a coworker, a family member, whoever it is, a stranger on the street, if they want to engage, then if I want peace, I'm going to have to engage. You follow me with that one?
Yeah, that's true. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
you have to deal with the people around you, of course. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And what age were you? Well, I don't. It's not even a point about the age, but you said for 22 years you experienced this place, this peaceful environment where you could meditate wherever you wanted. You didn't have to speak. And what inspired you to change it up? What inspired you to take another path or to do something? Was it because you felt like you learned so much, or you wanted to share? Or what, you know, what inspired you to leave? That's my question.
Right. Well, what inspired me is that I learned something else. I learned how to listen to the still small voice within. The goal of yoga, the goal of being in an ashram with a spiritual master, is to experience what's called yoga. And yoga means union of the individual spirit with universal spirit. And I was doing that on a daily basis. So how could I be missing anything? I was already having this amazing experiences of meditation where I was unified with my ultimate reality, which is my own inner divinity, which is what's called the absolute, the Sat Chit Ananda, the experience of samadhi, which means perfect stillness, perfect evenness of mind, stillness of body, and also perfect contentment and perfection. And what was missing, though, from my spiritual path was that there are two aspects of God, the impersonal aspect of God and the personal aspect of God. And in reference to the personal aspect of God, that's an experience of divine love. And that's what was missing from my experience, from my inner experience. I learned, and by the way, I wasn't seeking to learn anything else. It kind of came to me. And I learned a way to listen to that inner voice, the still small voice of God within, to receive divine messages, healing, wisdom, and inspiration from within myself, from what you might call the higher self or different aspects of the higher self, deity within, deities within, whatever you want to call it. It is a more personalized experience of the divine presence. And as a result of that, so wonderful, so amazing, I decided I wanted to teach that. I wanted to help people with that kind of meditation, which I call divine revelation, which I help people to experience that still small voice within.
And I love that. Now, we have a caller. I'm going to bring this caller on that wants to join our conversation. Hold on just a second. Hello, welcome to the show.
Yep.
Wrong button. Hello, welcome to the show. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Bob. I'm in Newburgh, New York.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Would you like to ask a question?
Yes, I'm finding the conversation quite interesting. I was introduced to spiritualism 2 years ago in May. Well, this year. I mean, this month. 2 years ago. And I immediately start, I wanted to find out from the doctor, has she ever read a book entitled Thinking and Destiny by Carol W. Percival?
No, I have not read that book.
Okay. And
what's
also,
it about?
Well, it's about us, humans. And I guess he got his information channeling or some way, but he would just get information and start writing. And then he hired someone to interpret his writing and write it out. And he created a book called Thinking and Destiny. And it talked about how humans were born here and came here probably thousands of times. Now, I guess you would call that reincarnation. I'm not sure. But I started reading that. And the gentleman who introduced me to spiritualism, it was the one that read it and told me about it. So I'm in constant contact with him. And we're actually getting closer and closer to being aware of certain things that are taking place. And he surprises me. And I guess he's surprised with my growth. But I'm not really meditating. And I guess that's a shame. The last couple of years, I didn't meditate before that either.
Let me ask you a question. First of all, thank you so much for being on the show. Number one, do you have a specific question you'd like to ask Dr. Chomsky?
Yes. The question is this. You mentioned basically that you know, some higher self or higher being out there somewhere in the universe that you listen to. Is that what you do? Is your meditation, does it provide that for you? Do you get insights into what happens?
Yes. In fact, I do receive answers to my questions. I receive inspiration. I receive creative ideas. I receive healing. I receive whatever I ask for, actually, because the entire premise of what I teach is one thing, and that is ask and it shall be given unto you. So if you ask questions, if you ask and have a conversation with the inner divinity, and it's not out there somewhere, by the way. It is right here, right now. In fact, it is here, there, and everywhere within this, that, and everything. It is absolutely imminent. It is absolutely present right here within you. So it is really having a dialogue with your own inner being, your own higher self, your own inner divinity. We could call it the wise sage within, the in-house counselor, the inner sage, the inner seer, and being able to be in touch with that and to experience that. But not only to have this conversation, but to have the experience of divine light, divine love, divine presence, divine grace, divine blessedness, all of these experiences of who you are lift you to a higher vibration. They lift you, they change you, and you are healed by this experience of being in contact with spirit, with a capital S. And I want to emphasize again, it's not out there somewhere. It is within you. It's within everyone. We all have a higher self within. We have a beautiful divine beingness within us that we can connect with and have direct experiences of God.
Wonderful, wonderful. And that leads me on to the next question. Is it okay if I ask another question?
Of course it is.
Fine, okay. Fine with me, yeah.
Okay. That leads me to the first thing is just two other questions here. The first thing is, when you're having a conversation, how do you know you're receiving demonic or a conversation with a demon and a conversation with your inner guide?
Right. That's a really good question, and I wrote two books about that. One of the books that I wrote about that is called Divine Revelation, and the other book is called How to Hear the Voice of God. And in those two books, I have an entire 10-test system that would take me 3 hours to describe and to teach, and I don't have 3 hours this morning to do that. But I do have a 10-test system, and if you use all the 10 tests to test the authenticity, the reality of the inner voice that you're in contact with, then you can be assured that it's truly a voice coming from the divine realm and not some other realm. And it's a very good question you are asking because of the fact that there are four places that you might be receiving your messages from: the spiritual world, the mental world, the astral world, or the environmental world. So it's really important in my viewpoint that you receive your messages only from the spiritual world. And that is the realm where you're in contact with the true divine presence and not demonic beings, not astral entities, not lost souls who did not go into the light after death, not wishful thinking, your ego, all these different ideas of humanity, all the things that we're influenced by in our environment, you know. You want to be in touch with your own true higher self rather than these other voices in your mind. So it's really important to distinguish and discern between the true voice of spirit and other voices. And I call that becoming spiritually street smart. I also call it practicing safe spirituality.
I love that. You know what else too, Bob? This is my answer to the question. I love Susan's answer, but this is also my answer. You can feel. How does it feel to you? I always ask myself this question: what are you creating? What are you creating? And you can feel the difference between divine, and I simplify it even more: divine and man-made, or divine and everything else. And you can actually close your eyes and feel the difference. And I really want to ask you to be more specific. What's going on in your life? What is happening in your life? What is the challenge in your life that you are experiencing right now? If you'd like to share that. I mean, very specific challenge.
Okay, right now. And I've been talking to my spiritual teacher about it, is I've been listening to a lot of Blog Talk Radio shows on ETs and the Pleiadians
I'm going to ask you to be really, really specific with something's going on in your life that you need help with now, or that you need that you need some kind of answer right now, as opposed to something really specific. Like maybe, let me see. Maybe you feel like you're searching for one of the things that we do. We're all searching to feel a certain way. We're all searching to feel good. We're all searching for this feeling, and this feeling of feeling a peace, a contentment, and a happiness, if you will. And we're searching for things outside, and it's really, like Susan said, it's internal. So what is it that you really want? What do you really want?
Well, I had contracted diabetes. and I probably had it for years. And when I was working on the road, that's probably the reason why I fell asleep three or four times. And just last year, I was told that I had diabetes. And I just can't take pills. I can't do it. I was told by my spiritual teacher that pills were made under darkness and they're not going to be any good anymore. And you're of the light, and you've got to take more spiritual foods as close to the ground as possible. So he's got me on this red pepper things, the stuff you put on pizza, and he said boil it, make a tea, and then add a tablespoon of olive oil to it. And I've been taking that. Now the legs are going down. Is that spiritual? Or is that anybody can do that? I'm just afraid that if this it doesn't work, I'm not going to be good to anybody. I couldn't walk.
I'm sorry. What is that affliction? Is something with your legs? You say?
Yeah. What happened was I must have had diabetes for a few years and didn't know it. Diabetes, and my legs blew up a couple of months ago.
And kind of gout, you mean?
Yeah, and that too. And my foot blew up underneath, and now I can't work. I work at West Point, and I can't work, and no checks are coming in now because I got no hours. So I'm really afraid that this this affliction, the teacher told me that it's demons in there. They're the ones working on you. You got to get them out of you. And I find that hard to believe.
Well, there are spiritual causes, Bob. There are spiritual causes to every affliction that we may encounter. If we have a disease or discomfort or illness or whatever you want to call it, there is a cause behind the cause behind the cause behind the cause of that. And it's always mental. You know, there is a mental cause that we created ourselves. It doesn't have anything to do with demons outside of ourselves or anything like that. The ultimate cause is ourselves, is our own mind that creates things. But that does not mean that we should eliminate doctors and healers from our life. If you have a serious problem such as what you described, it is essential that you get medical treatment along with prayer and affirmation and the things that I teach, which, in fact, my latest book called Instant Healing could be of great benefit for anyone who wants to change their emotions and change their mind and have a more positive attitude and to discover the cause behind the cause behind the cause of whatever it is that their problem seems to be, because the cause is always mental, the ultimate cause. But that does not preclude going to the doctor or to holistic practitioner or whoever can help you with that physical problem. And I am a firm believer that it's a good idea to work on all levels. If we need healing, physical healing, it's important that we not only go to a physician or whatever kind of, you know, modality it is that works for you, and also pray and do what I call affirmative prayer, which is what I teach and what I promote and what I believe is very helpful for people. And I have a couple books on that. I have Instant Healing. I have actually 8 books in print, but the books about spiritual healing and about changing your life on that level by using what I call affirmative prayer, there's a couple of books I wrote. One is called Instant Healing and another one is called Miracle Prayer. So you might look into those books, Instant Healing and Miracle Prayer, if you want to learn some ways to help yourself on a spiritual level. And in fact, I know that I said that the cause ultimately is mental and it is within yourself. But in fact, I do believe that there are entities and there are energies that sometimes can be, quote unquote, invading us or that are causing us problems. And there are ways to heal that as well that I teach in my books. And instant healing is really good. Miracle prayer is really good. And then the other one about spiritual healing is the book Exploring Auras. So those are the three books that I recommend that I've written that can help if you want to work on the spiritual level to really find and dig deep into the real mental cause behind your affliction. But I also would really emphasize that it's important for you to get medical treatment as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you for that, Bob, and thank you, Susan, for your explanation. And I do, listen, you're talking to an expert here. She's got books about instant healing and the divine revelation, and I just wish you well, Bob. Everything, it's really, really hard to heal, and it's hard to hear. Well, there is a reason for everything that happens there, and believe it or not, what I'm just going to speak for myself. What I go through, even at my quote-unquote lowest point, there's always a good reason for it. It's always for my betterment, and it's hard to hear. I know it, but ask. You can even ask yourself what can you find that's good about what you're going through? It's crazy, sounds crazy, but what can you discover? What can you think that's good about what you're going through? It's an internal question. So, for instance, I was disinherited 5 years ago, and Jesus, at the time, I was, believe me, more than hurt. And, my father didn't do it. My mother did. And my father basically lost his mental capacities. But believe it or not, there was something good and continues to be good about that experience. Even health issues for me. And there is something good in all of it. That's what I believe.
Well, that's wonderful that you could come to that realization, and also to have gratitude for every experience. In fact, having gratitude is a really wonderful way to begin any healing process, is to have gratitude for every experience that comes your way.
Yes, exactly. It's really interesting. This life is, what I've discovered is that whatever happens to me, and again, I'm just going to say, me, because we're all so different. We're all as different as our fingerprints, and our journeys are so different, and our experiences are so different. And that's the beauty of it all. We, all of us collectively, are forming this beautiful, beautiful world that we live in. All of us collectively, every single one of us, and one of the things that I've discovered, especially recently, is to flow with the moment, accept every moment, and flow as opposed to resist. When you flow with what's happening, when I mean it's like traveling down a river in a canoe, and you can either travel downstream or you can turn your canoe around and travel upstream, and you can feel the difference. But when you flow with whatever happens, you actually raise your vibration also. And when your vibration is raised, you attract more of that. So it's like you have a choice. Maybe not, and it's a conscious choice to flow and accept everything, all the moments, and embrace and love all the moments. Yeah.
Well, that is amazing. That's an amazing realization, and it's an amazing way to live.
It's the only way I can live now, Susan, because believe me, I've lived the other way way too long, and it was a constant bumping my head, being angry, up, down, irritated,
you know,
aggravated. And it just, I honestly just got tired of even being irritated. I mean, not tired, sick and tired, and just uncomfortable. Uncomfortable with down, yeah. And I just,
exactly.
I got to do something about it. I mean, I had to do something about it. And this
exactly.
is, it hasn't been easy. It hasn't been easy, and it hasn't been all in a straight line. Believe me, I had a little incident yesterday where I got pissed off at the parking attendant. It's funny because after 2 years, two years of knowing this parking attendant, and I mean, I love this man, and I've given him tips, and he's only seen me smiley and happy, but yesterday, for some reason, my vibration was a little, I mean, it is a full moon. I want to blame it on something, either full moon or whatever, but he wanted me to park in a certain spot, and I believe me, I parked in all the spots that he's wanted me to park in for 2 freaking years. But for whatever reason yesterday, I didn't feel like going backing and up and backing in and out and in and out and finally getting into a spot. I just wanted to park in a spot that was easy and accessible. And he would not let me do it. And I rolled down my window and I said, I'm parking here. When I got out of my car and I said, if anybody bothers me today, they're going to be in big trouble. So it's real life. It's real life. But honestly, 2 seconds into that, I felt terrible. I felt uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable with that vibration of irritation. And I had to just go into a room by myself, do a few deep breaths, and come out of it. Just come out of it.
Right. Well, the good news is that you know that you have the power to change your own mood, your own mind, your own emotions, and you did the method that works for you to be able to do that. That's the good news, is that you know that you are responsible for your own state of mind, and therefore you can change it.
Yes. Can you share with us, would you like to share with us one of your personal stories, if you will, that maybe no one knows, and you know, a challenge or something that's happened in your life that, you know, would you like to share that with us?
Well, what I could share is how I could briefly share how I got my book published, my very first book published by Simon & Schuster as a first-time unknown spiritual new thought author who knows nothing about writing. That's kind of extraordinary. I mean, the thing is that it's completely impossible to do that, to just try to get into the publishing world and not knowing anything and not even majoring in writing or anything like that. In fact, I went to art school, and my editor at Simon & Schuster said it's the very best written book she ever edited since she started working for Simon & Schuster. And how could that be, you know, being somebody who didn't even, you know, obviously it had to do with the fact that I listened to the still small voice of God within, and I trusted and followed the divine guidance that I got every step of the way. And what happened was that I was guided to write the first book that I've ever written. I have 8 books in print, but the first book was called Divine Revelation, and it's still in print with Simon & Schuster after 17 years. And so I listened to the inner voice, and the book kind of wrote itself. It was written by Spirit with a capital S. And then when I wanted to get it published, I asked my higher self, well, how do I do this? How do I get it published? And I got a very strange kind of message that said, well, go to the library. So that was my big divine revelation that I got, go to the library. So I went to the library, and I was looking for a literary agent. So I looked through a list of agents, and one name popped out. It was Jeff Herman, and I had a sensing that he would be the best agent to represent me. It did not make a whole lot of sense, though, because Jeff Herman agents business books for Wall Street. But I had a feeling still that he would be the best agent to represent me. And so I sent him my proposal. Of course, I didn't have quite enough faith to only send my proposal to Jeff Herman. I sent it to 30 agents. But amazingly, the very first agent to respond was Jeff Herman, responded within 2 days after receiving my proposal. And by the way, I just might better define for your audience what a literary agent is. A literary agent is a person who sells your manuscript to the publisher. So I heard from Jeff Herman, and I was very thrilled about that, and I signed the contract with him, and he tried to shop my book around to various publishers. He tried to sell it, and he got some rejections, and suddenly I got a letter from him that said, we're very sorry, but but we have had a staff shortage in our agency, and we can no longer represent you. And so I was completely devastated, thinking, oh, you know, how could this be? I was, my higher self guided me to go with his agent. You know, how can this be? And by the way, my ego was really invested in this whole in the whole agent thing. And so I was like, okay, now what? So I went into meditation to ask what to do next, because if you want to listen to the divine voice, it's a good idea to do it through meditation, because that still small voice is a quiet and still voice, and you cannot hear it if you are busily chatting away in your internal chat room to yourself, and you can't hear that inner voice. So I got quiet and went into meditation, and I asked, you know, what do I do now? So I got another really weird piece of inner guidance that told me, no, Jeff Herman is still your agent. Don't try to sign with another agent, and don't try to sell the book yourself. That was the message I got, and I got it more than once. I kept getting that message. So I send a letter to Jeff Herman, to his agency, and to Jeff, and I send him this letter. It says, well, my intuition tells me that you would be the best agent to represent me. And so I send this letter to him, and you can imagine the business book agent. I send this letter to him, and what happened? Well, nothing happened. That's what happened. Nothing. And months go by, and my book is still not getting published, and all of a sudden I get this letter from the Jeff Herman agency, and it says, we're very glad that you have so much faith in us, but we still cannot represent you. So I go into meditation again, second time, and I got the same message again. Jeff Herman is still your agent. Don't try to sign with another agent, and don't try to sell the book yourself. And I'm like, oh, vey, now what? I'm in, here I am. I'm going to appear like completely out of my mind, completely crazy. But I went ahead and I sent him a second letter. My intuition still tells me you'd be the best agent to represent me. So months go by, right? More months go by. All of a sudden, I get this letter from Jeff Herman that said, we're very impressed with your perseverance. We decided to represent you. So he went ahead and tried to sell the book again. And a few months later, I get a phone call from Jeff Herman. He said, no, we just sold the book to Simon & Schuster. And so I was really amazed and thrilled that as a first-time unknown spiritual author, New Age author, who knows nothing about writing, could get her book published by Simon & Schuster. It's just unheard of. It's the biggest publisher in the world. You know, the same time my book came out, the book, Hillary Clinton's book came out at the same time, and another some famous psychic named Linda Georgian, who was on TV all the time, her book came out at the same time as mine, and under the same imprint. And, you know, the book is still in print with Simon & Schuster, that first book that I wrote. So it's pretty cool.
Well, the interesting thing with that. Go ahead.
And, you know, the moral of the story is to listen to your inner voice, to trust your inner divine guidance, even if it seems crazy, even if it seems really weird, if you know it's clear. If you know it's true, if you know it's really God speaking to you or your higher self speaking to you, just trust it.
Right, exactly, totally. Yeah, and it's. I was just going to say that it was, of course it was the universe guiding you, because the universe's plan is the best plan, but I have to disagree with one thing that you said about meditation. I don't meditate, you know, sitting down and being quiet. I actually can hear the universe during all throughout the day. And that's what I was saying earlier with my audience, that we all are so different, and what works for you and what works for someone about sitting quietly, that might work for them. I get a lot of inspiration in the shower. I get a lot of inspiration while I'm on the bus. When I say inspiration, I mean messages or listening, and it's wherever I am. If I ask a question, I can get the answer wherever I am. And so
that's actually the best thing, is to be able to receive the inner guidance anytime, anywhere that you are. That means that you are very highly developed to be able to do that at any time, anywhere, because you can listen to that inner voice anywhere, and anyone can do that. And for most people, they need to go into a meditative state in order to hear the divine voice. And once you have some experience with that, you can hear it anytime. There are some people who can naturally just hear it without even ever meditating or ever having meditated. They can still tap into that. And so they just have that natural ability. But it isn't like it's some kind of quote-unquote God-given ability, because everything that we, all the skills, everything that we've ever are good at, anything that we have accomplished, we have learned to do that. We have studied to do that. We have spent probably lifetimes learning to do that. And, you know, this is not our only time around this block. We've been here many times, as Bob was talking about reincarnation. I do believe that we learn skills and that they carry on from lifetime to lifetime. So obviously you have developed yourself, not just in this life, but in past lives. And that is why you have this ability, some people might call it a psychic ability, an intuitive ability, whatever it is, it's something that you have developed.
Wow, right. Out of necessity, let me tell you. You know, one thing you said earlier is, and I totally believe this too, and I want to share with my audience, because I cannot believe we only have 3 more minutes left in this show. Actually, 2 more minutes, but I want to share with my audience that this, what you said earlier about asking and receiving, whatever you ask for, you will receive. And if you want to, if you want to get more connected or be able to listen to the voice, all you do is just ask. Hey, universe, can you help me with that? Hey, universe, can you guide me to where I want to be? And just be specific with the universe, and you will receive it. Now, I'm not saying you're going to receive it in 30 seconds. I'm not saying you're going to receive it next week, but you will receive it. And we
have
one. So I want to thank you so much, Dr. Shumsky, for being on our show. And you can contact her. You can find Dr. Shumsky at www.divinerevelation.org. Divine Revelation, divinerevelation.org. And that's all the time we have in today's show. Thank you so much for listening. You remember, tomorrow we're going to be on live. Questions from the audience, you feel free to email me at info@rebeccanorrington.com. And until next time, remember, you are the greatest gift from the universe, and it's your ability to choose. Your ability to choose in any situation, in any circumstance, in any relationship, you can choose how you want to react and how you want to feel. And now that you know how powerful you really are, you can begin to choose how you're going to spend these precious moments of your life. Happiness is a choice. And you've been listening to Reality Spirituality with Rebecca Lynn Norrington. Signing off until tomorrow. Reality Spirituality.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr.
Real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Yeah.